What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And we've got yet another good one lined up for you today because your Auburn Tigers keep it rolling on the recruiting trail, remaining scorching hot, probably as hot as any team in the country right now. We break that down, the most recent commits, and I'll give my insight of what we need to do to target finishing out the class, running out the class on a strong note. But first and foremost, former legendary coach Nick Saban facing a lot of backlash following his testimony in front of Congress yesterday. And so we dive deep into that. I give my insights and my thoughts on that. We break it all down right here on Landing on the Plains. So let's jump straight into it. We all know just how much college football has changed, right? That very same topic has legendary football coach Nick Saban facing quite the backlash after he testified before Congress yesterday regarding the future of college football. I'm sure a lot of you have seen on social media a lot of the backlash and things of that nature. And so I was able to watch a lot of the testimony, and so it stirred up a lot of thoughts for me and from my end of the perspective and just the way I see things, right? And so, like I said, he appeared in court yesterday to support the Protect College Sports Act, which is aimed to try to create more structure around NIL and all of those things. And you know what? At first, initially, I would have been somewhat inclined to partially agree to a certain extent with what he was talking about. And then I started to listen, some of the things he started to say, and he completely lost me. And so I agree it is out of control. I think there are some things that they can put into place to kind of get this thing riled up a little bit, kind of tighten it up, tighten the ropes a little bit, and make it more favorable for everybody involved. However, once I got on Twitter yesterday, which is now known as X, I saw a report that Cleveland Browns owner is donating $130 million to Tennessee. And it just made me start to think. It made me start to want, like my mind start to wonder. And these funds aren't even allocated towards the athletic department. But like I said, it made me start to think and wonder, like, wow, these donors, these boosters, alumni, they throw out all of this money. They have been throwing out all of this money for years and years and years upon years. And now we're all upset because players are finally getting a piece of the pie. Like, to me, that doesn't entirely make sense. Like, I agree with the structure part to a certain extent, but like everybody being up in arms about players getting paid, I can't get on board with that. And so I only bring that up because Nick Saban also brought up the fact that his first year during NIL, you know, the pot or whatever the case may be, whatever you want to use, was $2.7 million. And now you have teams, you know, with $40 million rosters. And to that, I say, well, players finally, you know, balanced out the market. Like, it wasn't going to stay at $2.7 million forever. Like, these schools are bringing in so much money. It's ridiculous. Like, you've got people donating tens and tens and hundreds of millions of dollars to these universities on top of the revenue they make, on top of the revenue share that they get from these TV deals and all of these things. And we're upset about players getting $500,000, $1 million, $2 million. Like, that's what they're worth. And so I think the market just finally settling and these players finally catching up to speed on what they're actually worth. That's the difference in 2.7 million to 40 million. Like, it was never going to stay at 2.7 million, right? And so that I didn't like, that's been a big talking point. A lot of people point that out, that, you know, the numbers skyrocketed. And I just think it's just the market finally settling down. Like, what these players are actually worth, honestly, is more than $40 million in totality. And so I don't really see the issue with that. I mean, we're just going to use Alabama, for example, just because that's where Coach Nick Saban coached at, right? You're talking about a school who last year brought in $147 million and reportedly $65 million in profit mean, this is just the football program. And so when we're talking about funds and money, and like, this is not even the tip of the iceberg. Like, and there's just so much that goes on under the table that we people don't even know about. Like, we're talking about peanuts, what these players are getting. And so I don't really like the narrative or acting as though, you know, this is something first that players can control, or this is the player's fault. When you've had coaches for decades upon decades who up and leave schools and their situations for more money, better opportunity. But honestly, where he really finally lost me throughout this entire ordeal, the entire time he was speaking, was when he mentioned competitive balance. And when he started talking about competitive balance, I pretty much had to end the video. Because back when he was the coach at Alabama, like, there was only a legit, five, maybe 10 schools, and 10 might be stretching, who had a real opportunity to win a national championship. And we're talking about competitive balance. Like, there's never been more competitive balance throughout the country, in my opinion, because, like, the past 3 years, we've had three Big Ten champions. Last year, Indiana won the national championship. Like, when Nick Saban was coaching pre-NIL, that would have never happened. Not a chance. And so I think when you look at NIL and you think about how all of this is being distributed and how the talent now has the opportunity to be so spread out, like, that's competitive balance. And so, yeah, he completely lost me when he was talking about competitive balance. And then I think just for me, one of the biggest things about this is kind of really just wrong messenger type of deal. Like, I would really love for Nick Saban to go under oath and to swear before Congress that he never ever facilitated or knew about any NIL before there was NIL. And I highly doubt he could do that. And so when we're talking about somebody giving this kind of speech, this kind of message, I just think it's the wrong messenger, especially coming from the wrong place. And I'll leave it at that, because, I mean, listen, we're all in the same state. I mean, I'm not from Alabama, but I went to Auburn. So, I mean, hey, we're in the same state. We know a lot of the same people, a lot of the same guys. Okay. And so when you're talking about a coach talking about competitive balance, or you're talking about a coach, things getting out of control, well, hey, maybe it's karma, you know? And so do I think there is a little bit of fixing that needs to go on with when it comes to NIL? Yes. There needs to be, you know, a better system in place as far as when the transfer window should be open, as far as the tampering that's going on. I mean, tampering's always been a thing, literally. But if there's a way that we can somehow, you know, kind of get that under control, that would be, you know, a good thing for everybody involved. So when you're talking about some things that need to get fixed, of course, that's with anything. That's with any system, especially something that's kind of taken off a lot faster than anybody intended it to. But I just think a lot of what he was saying was coming from the wrong messenger. And with that, we'll move on to the actual best team in the state. We'll move on to our Auburn Tigers, because your Auburn Tigers remain scorching hot on the recruiting trail. Probably recruiting, again, like I said earlier, as well as anybody in the country right now. And that is not an exaggeration. Picked up commitments here over the last 2 days. Here on Tuesday and Wednesday, from four-star linebacker Isaac McNeil out of Mobile, Alabama, and cornerback Aiden Wiggins out of South Carolina. And this staff, again, proving, you know, they don't mind dipping into other states. And I'm telling you, like, that trend just continues to show itself. And we now have commitments from guys in 8 states, I believe. I think you go from Florida, Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, Delaware, Illinois, and I want to say the last one is Missouri. And so I don't think, when's the last time you've been able to say something like that about Auburn in the month of June, right? Like, so this staff is clearly identifying the talent that they want, the guys that they feel like fit the scheme, the guys that fit the culture, and they're trying to go out and get them. And right now they're doing a pretty good job at it. And so right now, here in early June, I mean, we're sitting top five in the SEC in recruiting now. And so I don't think even the biggest Auburner you could find out there would have predicted that we, you know, be in this position at this point in the summertime. You know, with the brand new staff, with how everything's gone over the last couple of years, it's safe to say that this staff is well ahead of schedule. And so I just think that a very, very good year, a productive year, will only enhance everything that's going on. And so, yeah, like I said, two really good prospects joining the fold here this week. And the trend continues, man, with the big corners. And I think it's just very indicative of the type of guys that, you know, our cornerbacks coach really likes. And so when I look at Aiden Wiggins, man, you're talking about 6'1" with like really, really elite speed. And that's just some kind of stuff you can't coach. And so what I'm getting here from this staff is like, they feel like, you know, they want to get guys who fit the mold, you know, fit the mold of what they look for, what they like. And, you know, we can bring the best out of them. You know, we bring them here. We're going to develop these guys. We're going to get them in our building, you know, beef them up, you know, let them hit the weight room, teach them, guide them, grow with them. And I really love that plan. And so when I'm looking at, you know, a lot of these prospects, man, it's like some guys who obviously got to hit the weight room, get bigger, faster, stronger, whatever case may be. But like, you look for the traits, and the traits are there. And so, like I said, with this Aiden Wiggins, man, corner out of South Carolina, 6'1", big frame, long, athletic, good hips. Like I'm watching the film, watching him work out and some clips and footage. And I'm watching the movements. I'm watching his feet, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just liking how fluid of a mover he is. And so you talk about size, like you can't coach that, especially in SEC, that physical presence. Like you put on 15, 20 pounds and you got a freak with some good coaching, like with some really, really good coaching. And I believe that, you know, cornerbacks coach DeMarcus Van Dyke is a really good coach. And so, yeah, man, you bring in a guy who's 6'1", like I said, man, with that kind of frame, exciting. And speaking of exciting, talk about linebacker Isaac McNeil. This is a guy who probably undersized right now, but going into his senior year, man, like I said, you look at the frame and what can be, what will be with the right development. And so I'm really high on this kid. Like, he just pops off the film to me. And so obviously linebacker being my position, I'm just looking at him, man, and he just, like I said, pops off the film. You talk about fast, explosive. He's not afraid to put his nose in there and hit you. He's chasing people down from behind. Like, everything you want to see on the film, he's doing it. And like I say, he's not afraid of contact. And so that's what I'm looking for out of the guy. Like, you, like I keep saying, you can coach a lot of this stuff. And so I'm looking for the traits. I'm looking for the athletic ability, the physical gifts that you can't coach. He has them. Isaac McNeil has them. And so I'm excited about that pickup for sure. And I think he's going to be a guy who can fit into Coach Durkin's system. And, you know, at his high school, he's listed as an outside linebacker. But I think once he gets to the college level, he'll be a, you know, off the ball linebacker. But he possesses such a unique skill set, because even with his high school team, he lines up on the edge sometimes. He blitzes and things like that. And you can see the quick twitch. And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the quick twitch. When he's beating linemen, it's quick. And so I'm looking at the traits. I'm seeing, you know, how fast he is, how quick he is. He's blitzing from, you know, linebacker position off the ball. And like, he's just like, it's shot out of a cannon. And so like, this kid is explosive. And so I'm really high on this guy. Racking them up, man. I'm telling you, man, racking them up. And I don't foresee it slowing down. This momentum is going to continue to go. And yeah, I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited for it because, like I said, it's not going to slow down. It can only get better. And like, I foresee us having a pretty damn good year, you know, to kind of top it off and, you know, kind of close the deal for maybe even some guys down the road. So yeah, I'm excited about that. And speaking of, you know, down the road, obviously we still have a few holes to kind of, you know, fill as we kind of round out this class, right? And so I would like to see us, you know, just kind of, you know, not prioritize. I know, you know, this staff is on top of their game. They're recruiting at probably the highest clip in the country right now, at least definitely top five. And so not prioritized, but, you know, just some guy or positions I would like to see us attack, I guess you could say. And that would be, for me, like edge rusher, DN. I think, you know, obviously losing Falk and Crawford to the draft. Jarrett Smith going into year two, right? And then you brought in some guys from the transfer portal. I think this is a position right here for us that we kind of really got to, you know, hit on a few guys here in this class. You don't want to continue to dip in the portal every single year. Obviously, it's going to be some positions that you need to. You got to get in where you can, get what you need. But I would really like to see us get a couple high school guys at the position, really highly talented guys at the position, because obviously pass rush, defensive end, edge setting is a premium in the SEC, absolute premium. And so we need that, especially, like I said, just losing two guys to the draft, two really good players. And so I would also like to see us, you know, kind of shore up on the inside, on the interior of the defensive line as well. We rotate so many bodies. You can never really have enough good players in there, especially in this league. Got to be able to stop the run. So we got a lot of talent there, but they're young guys, and so we got to continue to bring in some guys, you know, maybe one or two, just to keep it going, continue to create that competition, create that depth, because, like I said, we rotate so many guys at the position. You know, we play 6, 7, 8 guys a game on the interior of the defensive line, and so, you know, you'll have your run stoppers. You'll have some guys who may be better pass rushers. And so everybody possesses a different skill set. So we need every single body. And just continuing on, man, just thinking about, you know, maybe some final positions that we might need as we round out this class, man. Just I don't think we're done in the DB room, just because that position comes at such a premium. Like, you need elite players back there. You do. Especially nowadays, college football has changed so much, man. Just – how much of an air raid game we play now. Like, I continue to speak on and prioritize the run game, and the best teams do, but, like, we're in 2026. Teams are going to drop back and pass 30, 40 times a game. That's just what it is. And so a lot of the times you need 5, 6 defensive backs on the field, you know, in order to run your stuff and run it at a high efficiency level. So we need elite defensive backs, and I think the staff is going to continue to try to go after those kind of guys. They got some guys that they like right now, recruiting pretty heavily, and so, yeah, I just think we're on the cusp of seeing that maybe a few more pop here soon, and hopefully that they pop in our favor, man. And so, yeah, that's all we got for you guys today, man. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm your host, Chandler Wooten, man. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Make sure to catch us on the next one, and as always, War Eagle.